You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hello, John.
Hello, Alan.
How are you?
Great.
Fantastic. And a good morning to you, Devin.
Oh, hey, what's up?
It's been a bit, guys. We took a couple weeks off. There really hasn't been a lot of news. It's the dog days of summer, right before football, right before fall camp for the Jazz, and it's just kind of, what could we possibly talk about? Well, until this week, we've got stuff to talk about.
The full NBA schedule is out, and I am excited, and I love it, and I've been going through it backwards and forwards. Let's dive in, shall we?
Let's do it. I'm glad you've looked at it and gone through it forwards and backwards, because I don't even think I've had a quick glance at it. I saw it come out the other day and haven't had a chance to look at much of it at all. I did see a tweet from, I think, the guy that the last couple of years posts the pre and post All-Star game strength of schedule graphs. So I saw where the Jazz fit in on that one. But yeah, I haven't had a chance to delve into the schedule much. So I'm excited to talk about this just to hear you talk about this.
Yeah, we have the five preseason games. First preseason game is October 5th, Saturday, against Adeline or one of those foreign country teams. The home opener, the game one of the season is a home opener, and it's the 23rd against the Thunder. The Thunder have had a lot of changes. Who knows what that team's going to look like, but yet they're still going to be a good team because Chris Paul is still a good player, and they have Steven Adams and everybody. Their second game is going to be on the road, and it's on ESPN against the Lakers. And the opening, they have a lot of good teams in their opener. Their first 10 games are Thunder, Lakers, Kings, Suns, Clippers, Sixers, and Bucks. That's nine. And then the 10th is the Warriors. So you have Phoenix in there, which is probably the only gimme. The rest of those are all going to be very good teams, challenging teams. Kings twice, you figure you would expect at least a split, but you know, who knows? This could be, it looks like it's going to be a challenging beginning of the season, but it's not going to be the hell. There's no part of the schedule that looks as hellish as December was last year for the Jazz.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'm quick glancing at it while we're talking about now, but I mean, that opening schedule should be fun. And it's like you said, it's a test. That's what I'm looking at right now. Let's test where it's at. Now, I don't expect them to come out the gate firing in all cylinders because new players, new parts of the engine, parts of the motor, whatever you want to call it. They've got to click. They've got to find some chemistry. But if they do come out clicking, I don't know if that's going to be a false positive either. I don't know where we're going to be at 3 weeks into the season. I don't even know whether we'll be ready to take that as a gauge of where the season goes yet, but I still think we'll have a pretty good idea of chemistry and where the opportunities are for this team going forward.
Yeah. See, with that schedule, you know, they could easily start 5-5 and that would be okay.
Right.
Because they have a lot of good teams right there in the beginning. The easiest part of the schedule when I was looking at it looks like it is going to be February into March.
Right.
They have one home game before the All-Star break. After the All-Star break, they have five home games in a row. Then they go on a four-game road trip, but three of those teams are the Cavs, the Knicks, and the Pistons. So, and then the other one's Boston National, and so they'll be motivated for that one. So I see the Jazz, you know, regardless of where they are in the standings before the All-Star break, I see them going on a hot streak after the All-Star break and the buzz building up from that point. April's interesting because, well, they got Cleveland on the first, and then it's three home, three road, all against Western Conference teams. And you would think at that point that Phoenix and the Thunder would have rolled over. And so then your remaining four teams are the Blazers, the Nuggets, the Clippers, and the Nuggets again. So that April is going to be crucial standing watches with that ending.
Agreed. Devin, we're looking at it. Are you looking at it? You got any additional thoughts?
No, I just like the fact that we went up on our nationally televised games this season. I think we're up to 16 as a minimum, which is actually really nice. And I think that says something about how the national media actually views the Jazz. If I recall correctly, they were ranked 10th in the league in terms of national games played. Now, again, you're also going to be behind teams like the Lakers, like the Clippers, the Warriors. I think the Nets were also pretty high up there. But it's not a bad spot for the Jazz, and I think you get enough national games for those out-of-market fans. But you're still a little bit under the radar, which personally, that's where I like the Jazz to be. I don't want the Jazz to be the number one team everyone's got their eyes on, especially where we're just kind of coming together, like Alan said.
Yeah, and I was kind of bummed that they didn't get an ABC game. I thought they would have got one of the Sunday ones. But when you look at who did get them, it looks like they're really liking the Zion Williamson hype train. Pelicans are going to be all over national TV. And it feels like a bigger red carpet than Anthony Davis got when he went to the Pelicans. It's just really interesting how that works out. But 10th, I have to feel pretty good about. 16 ESPN, 10 TNT. And then you throw in the NBA TV games, I think it goes up to like 25.
I'm a little disappointed. I mean, this might be the first year that January isn't stacked with home games. Because I'm looking at January and they've only got five home games in all of the month of January.
Six.
But usually January is a month of 9, 10, 11, 12 games at home, and the rest are on the road. But they've got a couple of road trips there to start the year off. Those first 2 weeks, a couple of Eastern Conference road swings that they're getting away from the Viv a little bit to start the year.
Well, they got the home game breakdown. There's 6 in November, 7 in December, 6 in January, 8 in February, 8 in March.
Yeah, so they've moved that homestand, if you will, to March and or to February and March now, which I don't think is all that bad, really.
Yeah.
So I think I can agree with everybody's take on Twitter. How dare they take Christmas Day away from us?
Oh, I did finally find the national breakdown for all the teams. Pelicans do actually have more nationally televised games than the Jazz, but it goes like this. Number one, this is just ranking them. Number one is the Lakers. Come on, pull up the full grid. What is this doing? You're killing me, Smalls. Okay, cut off the last two teams. So number one's Lakers, 2 Warriors, 3 Rockets, 4 might be buried under... I don't see 4. Is it Toronto? Well, screw this grid for not showing me the full numbers.
I was going to say, you had it.
the graphics cut off, and yet it's not. I can't scroll down. I don't know what's going on. Well, anyway, the teams that have hardly any is teams like the Hornets and the Bulls and the Grizzlies and those kind of teams. And the Jazz are more in the range of like the Blazers. Looks like Celtics have more. The Nets ranked 12th. Wow, Jazz actually ranked stronger than the Nets.
We'll take it. It's a win. We'll take it.
Yeah. Okay, forget that.
Well, all in all, I think it, and like I said, I saw the graphic the other day. I don't remember his name on Twitter. I think I retweeted it actually too. Just a couple days ago where the graphics was shown who's got, strength of schedule for the entire year. And the guy breaks it down on the graph, which graph I'm talking about, breaks it down pre All-Star game, post-All-Star game, and then there's one other part of that graphic he threw in. I think it's around the Christmas time. But anyway, the Jazz fared pretty well. You know, the last couple of years, we have been, I think, as Jazz fans, a little bit frustrated and then joyous at the end of the season. Frustrated because the beginning of the season, the Jazz end up having the toughest schedule in the NBA for those first 3 months. Well, this year, it's much more even. You know, you start out of the gate, you know, strong, but not overkill. It hikes up just a little bit as you near Christmas, and then it drops, and you still have the easiest part of your schedule, strength of schedule wise, to finish the season off. It's a little bit more level than it has been the last couple of years, and I can't complain too much about that.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that's the schedule. Anything else you want to touch on schedule wise?
No, that's good.
All right, moving on. There's some Donovan Mitchell news.
Donovan's getting rave reviews with the Team USA. Looks like he's going to start and being considered one of the leaders on the team.
Liking that. Definitely liking that. And some of the highlights they've shown that I've seen come out on NBA's Twitter and whatnot has been... it's been enjoyable to see Donovan getting in there, you know, doing what we know Donovan does, you know, whether it be the couple of step backs or the dunks or the fast breaks, teaming up with, oh my gosh, I am having the biggest slip Kemba. Of the tongue right now. Thank you, Kemba. I am really, my brain ain't here this morning. I'm not awake yet, but, yeah, teaming up with Kemba, and the chemistry looks good there. I am liking what I'm seeing out of USA camp.
What'd you think of, did you hear about the scrimmage they had where they lost to the G League team?
I did not.
I heard that last night having a discussion with someone, and that's just inexcusable.
Enlighten me, please.
They put together a bunch of guys from like G League to go scrimmage against Team USA, and they blew them out. It was like 36-17.
Ouch.
Now I do have one question.
Mm-hmm.
Was Jimmy Butler on that team? Because it wouldn't be the first time that Jimmy Butler has rounded up a bunch of guys who are lucky to be in the league.
No, would have been in this story, but yeah.
Well played. So how did Team USA respond or react? Did we get some bites from it a little bit?
I haven't seen any bites on it. I just was scrolling through a story on it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Hopefully it's a good wake up call for him.
You know, I hope so too. It's interesting. We're talking about this too, because it was just last, was it a week ago? I think it was Sunday. I flipped over to NBA TV and they had the show, the thing called The Dream Team, where they chronicled the travels and whatnot of the Dream Team 92, as they kind of made their way through the Olympic trials, the Olympics, everything leading up to it. And very interesting to go back and watch some of what took place. And it's interesting how we've put that team on the pedestal, and deservedly so. It is the greatest team ever to be assembled. But you have this team on the pedestal, and you've compared every team since then to them. And I think people set themselves up for a mistake when they do that. But it brought back good memories to go back and watch that. Have you seen that before?
I think so.
Yeah, it was really good. Interesting to hear them talk about who, I mean, is there any doubt who the leader on that team was? I mean, it's Michael Jordan. And it was interesting to hear them talk about the fact that was the passing of the torch. That was the old NBA, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, passing the torch on to the new, younger NBA at the time, Michael Jordan, John Stockton, Karl Malone, Charles Barkley. And it was very interesting to hear that, you know, some of their takes post. I mean, this was a 20 years after the fact, because it was filmed in 2012. But to hear them talking about, in retrospect, about what took place, it was very cool. So anyway, sorry, got off topic a little bit, but this Olympic talk brought that to mind for me a little bit. So
Yep.
All right. And the last on the Jazz notes for the day, the mountain theme. I'll tell you how I feel about this in a minute, but I want to know how the two of you feel about the mountain returning on the court and in jersey form this season for the Jazz.
I personally am not that thrilled to see it return. I liked that they got away from the mountain theme and went back into a music theme because their name is the Jazz. I'm okay with it when it like certain retro times, because that was the logo of the team during the finals runs. But overall, I'm not that enthused.
Yeah, and I'm kind of the same. I mean, I like a good retro theme. This isn't the one I would have picked personally. If I were going with a retro, I would have liked the whites with the purple and gold and green.
From what? From when?
Yeah.
What do you mean from when?
I'm trying to think of which one you're talking about. Are you talking about way 80s? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The pre mountain jerseys. I like that look better. But I'm kind of with John, and it's just that as much I grew up with the mountain jerseys. Okay.
Yeah.
I had one, but there's something about those jerseys that I just don't like. I think it's the font. I think the Jazz font has always kind of been to me, but I don't know. My preference would have been, because I like the court, I think it's really cool that they're doing that, I would have liked an updated take on the mountain jersey. That's what I would have liked. And if they went with like the same colorway, awesome. But I don't know. I'm not huge on it. I'm not sold like everyone else is. It'll be fun, but I'm not as stoked as I was about, say, the purple ones from last season, the city jerseys. These are just kind of like, cool, nice nod to the past, but whatever.
This goes yeah. back to the old fire and ice take that somebody said the last couple of years. I know Steve Starks kind of jumped on it, but the idea of having the city jerseys full on red, just that fiery look from Southern Utah, and then you can do that during parts of the season, and then during the wintertime, switch it to the mountain, and you've got that icy, you know, cool look. I don't mind it. I honestly don't. I never hated it. I don't mind it at all.
I think you like it more than you're leading on.
Well,
I think you are backing off of it because of what John and I just said.
No. I do like it. I do like it. I had a leather jacket that until a couple of years ago, I had it for a couple decades and I loved it. But I still have quite a few memorabilia from back then. Sitting around my house. So no, I like it. I do. I don't mind. Here's the one caveat. Please don't get rid of the city jerseys. Please keep them. Always keep that court. Always keep those jerseys. Switch them up during the season. I don't even mind if you switch up between the mountain and the city jerseys frequently enough, and then you're back to the normal, you know, the normal jerseys. Okay, let me ask you two. Mountain jerseys or the gold or green that they wear?
Gold or green?
Yeah, like the green, like the green ones that they wore on Christmas Day.
The statement ones,
or the yellow kind of gold ones that they wear. I don't like either of those. Those are the two jerseys I can't go with. I don't like them.
I enjoy both of those personally.
You like them better than you do the mountains?
No, I don't know. I'm not completely sold on them. I would much rather them go, if they were going to go green, go with something like the Sundiata Gaines. You know, those old school throwbacks.
Yeah.
You know, but they're nice.
Okay. John, what did you, what do you think?
Well, my main thing with the mountains is I don't really like the color scheme where you have this teal mixed in there with the light purple and the light blue, and the choppiness of the range and the way the Jazz letters have to be situated above it. I like it a lot smoother when the Jazz word can just be one shot across, and I like music theme coming in. They wanted to bring back mountains. Why not combine mountains and music somehow? But instead, they just kind of went back to the
suddenly I went
pretty
into
much the same look it was 20 years ago.
Suddenly, I went into Sound of Music, mountain theme singing.
Oh God.
Climb every mountain.
No, I get what you're saying, John. I mean, why couldn't you do like? we've seen some of the mock-ups that guys have done where they've done like the gradient, uh-huh. like the city, and then they've had the mountains kind of in the background. And then you could just do the Jazz logo in white or something right across the chest. I mean, you don't have to go all the way back to it. And I wish they hadn't. Like I said, a nice upgrade on that and kind of tying everything together with what they're doing would have been, I think, much more successful for me. But then again, there's a ton of people who absolutely love these and go crazy for them. And I get it. I get it. It's the finals jerseys. But
and there are a lot of Jazz fans now who never saw those.
Oh, gall.
There are.
Oh.
They get a chance to see those now. They've never seen them.
Guys.
I know.
Especially you two. but hey, quick transition because we're here. You did see the bring it back the Vancouver Grizzly jerseys, right?
Yes, and I say please do. Mm-hmm.
I love those.
So do I.
Okay. So, I mean, yeah, I'm not like anti-90s jerseys. There's some really cool jerseys from the 90s. But I like our other stuff better, I think.
And speaking of the mountain jerseys, John, and my whole binge of NBA TV, last weekend was also playing the 97 and 98 finals, respectively. And the shot. They played the game in Houston, game 6. And so you get a chance to watch that. And then they also played 2 Chicago games, game 6 of 98. And then I can't remember the other one that was on. But I was reminded of just how ugly basketball those two finals were. Do you remember that?
Well, I do. So it kind of fades on you when you get away from it. But I remember about a week ago just looking at the box scores of the finals.
Yeah.
And I will never forget the game where the final score of game 3, I want to say, was something like 82 to 58.
Yep.
Just a miserable, miserable game where they couldn't hit anything.
Yep.
And all of those games were like that. All the games were like 88 to 84, 86 to 80.
Well, and the game 6 they were showing, or game 5 they were showing, the one that the Jazz won in Chicago before they came back here for the dreaded final shot by Michael Jordan. That game 5, it was like halftime score was 36 to 34 or something like that. I can't remember. It was in the mid-30s. And neither team could hit a shot. Malone scored 30-something in that game and had himself a fine game. Jordan was awful to start and came on fire late a little bit later. But the defenses, that's what those two teams were. They were all about the defense, and it was a grudge match. And I was watching it again last week, and I just went, holy crap, this is horrible. It's ugly. But it was fun. It was good. I mean, it was the Jazz and the Bulls. So anyway, reminiscing on the mountain jerseys, reminiscing on the finals runs for the Jazz. So moving on to NBA news and notes. John, you want to hit more schedule?
I had that in the notes, but I think we did a pretty good job. But I did want to hit on one note. DeMarcus Cousins, he tore his ACL and he is out indefinitely.
Yeah, that's awful. That's his third injury in 2 years.
Right.
And they're not minor injuries. These are career-ending injuries that he keeps trying to come back from. So you think he makes it back? Or is this maybe end of the road for his career?
Torn ACL, that says to me you're out for the season. And if he's out for the season again, then if he comes back, it's going to be basically on a contract like he got this year. Maybe a 1-year, $2 million deal just to see if you can help. But he's pretty much done at this point.
Yeah, this isn't good news for him and his career. Not at all. One additional Jazz note we might as well throw into NBA news we didn't touch on. Steve Starks, I mentioned his name, got a promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And got moved to, I'm trying to remember the title, president of Larry H. Miller Group?
Yep. Yep, yep.
And Don Sterling got promoted to interim, I think is what they called it, interim president of the Utah Jazz for the time being. What do you think of the move?
Good for him.
Yep.
Good for them.
So movement in the in the offices of the Utah Jazz, and I'm not sure they're done yet, because if they're calling Don Sterling's move interim, I don't know what's next for him. Maybe Don gets it permanently. I don't know. So
Who knows? I mean, that stuff's all great. I don't really know what it means.
Right.
Doesn't really affect me.
Yeah. No, it's just of note. So
yeah.
Any other NBA news and notes? I can't think of anything else to throw in the mix.
Well, maybe we should throw to Devin's quick hits.
I think so. Because what Devin will do is he'll inevitably find some NBA news that we skipped over, and it'll be part of his quick hits, I'm sure.
There is.
Look at that.
There's a big little piece, a big little piece of NBA news.
How can it be big and little?
By Sam Amick. NBA will require every team to have a licensed mental health professional on retainer this year. Wow. Do you guys like the move?
Yes.
Huh.
Most definitely.
So this cool. was reported a little over a week ago. For me, I love this, and I think it's a step that they need to take. I don't know that the NFL does something like this, but they absolutely should be. So I think every sports organization should be doing this, but it'll be nice. Great news. So
agreed.
I think we're seeing kind of the fallout from DeMar DeRozan, from Kevin Love, from the players who have opened up about mental health battles.
Yes.
And so, yeah, it's nice to see some progress.
Agreed.
Other NBA news. Let's see. I had another one. Oh, there was one. I'm not sure if you guys saw it. I think it was Jalen Rose was talking about a fantasy football league that he does. And there's a $10,000 buy-in. And he's had people like KD, LeBron, Draymond. Well, he says that KD got upset and left, and then LeBron finished last and stopped playing. And I had to laugh at this. I'm not sure if everyone saw it. That's why I bring it up. I had to laugh because that's very fitting of their personalities, I think. So
yeah,
if you're not good at fantasy football, you're not the only one. Other news. Did you see the Clippers are closing in on a top assistant for Doc Rivers?
No, who is it?
Ty Lue.
Ty Lue.
Oh, well, all right then.
Would you like that move?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's good. If anything, it's great for Ty Lue because he can work himself back into the coaching mix quickly and might garner some attention for a head coaching job soon. I mean, it's just his way of working right back up the ladder, and I think it's good for him. And
well, he could have had a head coaching job. He turned it down, Lakers.
Yeah, but we've already talked about why he turned it down, and I would have turned the thing down for that same reason.
No, you wouldn't have.
Yeah.
You would have taken the money.
No, no.
You would have taken the money.
There is some pride to speak of here.
I would have taken the money.
I would have taken the money. I mean,
you sellouts.
Millions of dollars? Are you kidding?
All right. I have another NBA related take. I want to ask if you guys are sick of it, because every week there's at least a few posts and it comes on a Tuesday, and that's because it's Taco Tuesday.
You don't do it as well as he does.
I don't, but no. I want to know. I want to know. Do you like the Taco Tuesday posts?
I've only seen one and I thought it was hilarious. He was going around the house looking at all his kids and getting them to say it. And I didn't mind it. I thought it was great. I thought it was hilarious.
John, do you like the Taco Tuesday posts?
I have not seen this post, and I have no desire to look it up.
Wait, are you serious?
I've never seen it.
No, so John, it's on Facebook Live. He does it on Facebook Live usually. That's where I've seen him.
Everywhere.
Oh, he does it everywhere. Okay, the one I saw was Facebook Live.
But what happens is he does these, and now ESPN, Bleacher Report, everyone is picking up his videos, and Taco Tuesday has like become the movement of the summer. He keeps one-upping himself every week.
The one I saw, John, and I guess it wasn't a Facebook Live more than it was just a story, but he pulls up his video, you know, on his phone, and he just goes around. His kids are all sitting around the table, and he first shows himself saying Taco Tuesday, and he does this really weird face, and he turns around and he gets each one of the kids to say it and repeat it, and it's hilarious, dude. It's funny. It's You know what? You don't have to even love the guy to just go out and watch it and get a kick out of it. I think it's funny.
People are getting sick of the post.
Probably, but I think it's funny.
So, okay, next quick hit. NCAA removed the bachelor's degree requirement for agents. So they kind of backed off that. Agents must only be certified by the NBA Players Association. Thoughts? You like it? Should a bachelor's degree be required?
No, I don't mind it.
No.
The NCAA is a mess anyway, really. I mean, they just are.
Okay, so we're against the Rich Paul rule is what you're saying. Because that's what it is.
Well, yeah, I'm yeah. against it.
Okay. Let's jump over. There's a lot of other stuff. I want to kind of go through a few things quickly here. Let's talk NFL for just a minute. Antonio Brown wanted to keep his old helmet. It was no longer approved by the NFL. He said, no, I'm not going to play if I can't have my helmet. They got an arbitrator involved. He says, you can't wear your helmet. AB says, fine, I'll play. Is that just ridiculous to be throwing a fit over a helmet that is no longer considered safe to play in?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that's all we had to cover there. Dak Prescott turns down a $30 million a year deal and is instead seeking $40 million. Oh. Is he crazy?
It doesn't hurt to try.
No, it doesn't hurt.
Are
but
you
it's,
sure? Because I wouldn't be giving him the $30 million anyway.
You know, Jerry Jones is in a fix over there between Prescott and Elliott. I was reading the news the other day about both of these stories you mentioned in your hits here. And is this the way of pro sports now, where it's a whole lot of whining about everything and about nothing and just take center stage and show your whine about your helmet, about the money, about this? And it's really gotten out of hand to me. It's making pro sports really just some days I just want to throw it out the door.
I can see wanting to get paid the most you can and to be right. compensated for your talents. And I can see all kinds of, you know, things like that, especially if there's a risk involved. You know what I mean? Like there is with football. But yeah, I mean, $40 million is ludicrous money for a guy who I don't think has proven anything in his career.
What if somebody pays it, though, Devin? You still look at it as ludicrous?
It's still, they're crazy to pay him that much money.
If somebody pays him that, apparently they think he's worth it.
He's not worth it.
Right.
He's not worth it. That's where I'm at. So, all right, let's jump over.
Wait, what's that, John?
Well, one note on the Cowboys. When's the last time they went to a Super Bowl?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Just randomly guess.
90,
no, I got it.
92?
No, they went after the Niners did in 95, so I want to say it was still mid-90s, wasn't it?
96, you're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, the year after the Niners.
So Jerry Jones, he's in a pickle. That is a long time in NFL years.
Yep.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
The next quick hit, I sent you guys a picture in the chat so you can take a look at this. The Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiver coach Daryl Drake passed away, which is sad and tragic, and you know, hearts go out to Steelers fans and his family, of course. But there's this picture posted, and I found it on Bleacher Report. It looks like it was posted by Ed Thompson of 24/7 Sports, Big Ben and Juju at practice, and the picture is to me extremely moving. I just want to get your guys' reaction. I think it captures a lot of the emotion that players feel for their coaches, for their teammates. I think it's really captures the family aspect of pro sports.
Yeah, I saw it. I agree.
Yeah. Yep.
So if everyone gets a chance, I would highly recommend going out and taking a look at that. And then the last thing I wanted to touch on, I want to touch on some soccer. Alan, you can leave the room.
Well, if you're going to talk about the news I saw recently, then I'll listen.
Okay. Let's talk about Mike freaking Petke. The head coach of RSL was suspended for 3 games, and then he was, I think, suspended an additional 3 games. I think it was a total of 6 when you included, like, foreign match play or something like that. And then was supposed to go through anger management. What happens is he starts serving that. my understanding is they sign him to an extension during this time.
Yep.
And then they go through the investigation, which he's accused of using a Spanish word that is to some considered a homophobic derogatory term. And then he ends up getting terminated. So I want your take on this, because I don't think there's any excuse for that language in sports. I don't think that you should be allowed to do that in a professional capacity. My concern is that they seem to know what was going on. They hand down the strictest punishment that I think MLS has ever seen, and then they terminate him after the fact. Where are you at with this, John?
Well, I don't blame them for firing him. I don't know what the word was. I guess I have a couple guesses, but these articles are just dancing all the way around it without
it starts
what it
with
was.
A P. It starts with a P. I'll give you that, and it's a Spanish okay. word. So I think we can okay. we can all figure
I,
that
I
out.
I figured it was that one or the other one. So okay. So he called him that word. I mean, that's, you know, that's basically like, yeah. I'm not going to repeat and put more words in people's heads. But yeah, that's a pretty bad one. And if RSL had been doing better, if Mike hadn't already been a problem previously, I think he could have ridden it out. But after that, no. They made it easy.
My issue, without completely understanding everything about it, and I've had conversations with one of our listeners who is big into soccer, Brett. But my issue with it is the way the process was handled. So I get it. Suspend him. Dish out the punishment. That's great. Everything's great. But then to sign him to an extension only to turn around and fire him. If you're gonna fire him, don't even have the extension talk. Don't even bother.
Yeah, that's what was yeah. kind of weird to me. That's like I don't disagree with the decision. And I understand doing your due diligence to make sure you go through the proper channels with an investigation, which seemed to take too long to me. I mean, you've already handed out the punishment.
Yep.
So you clearly know what was going on. So I don't know. It seems weird and sloppy.
And judging from some of the reaction I've seen on social media, a lot of people are equally frustrated and angry at RSL as they are at Petke for the mistake. In fact, a lot of people are very frustrated with ownership, and it sounds like it's been boiling over for a few years anyway, that ownership hasn't been great. So is this the straw that breaks the camel's back? I mean, a lot of people have, and maybe it's the 10 percenters I'm reading, but a lot of people seem very disappointed and unhappy with RSL right now.
It's probably the fact that they had a passionate coach. They had a passionate coach that they liked. They liked a guy who would go to bat for his team, a guy who would just say what he wants. I mean, let's be honest. In the world today, people like a guy who will say whatever he wants for some reason.
Right.
But you have to draw the line. At the end of the day, this guy is a role model in some ways. You know, when you think about the fact there are kids watching, there are a lot of kids in youth soccer, especially in the state of Utah. And then to do this, and it's not the first time. It's not the first time he's had an outburst.
Right.
And sure, I get it. Sometimes you have to let loose. We've seen that from coaches. I mean, Jerry Sloan was clearly not the... the most calm of individuals on the sideline.
No.
But I don't know. I agree with the decision. I just, it's kind of...
the process of it.
Yeah,
was,
it's yeah. left a weird taste in my mouth. But regardless, I think they made the right decision.
Did you see Raimondo's response?
No, I did not.
Check it out when you can find it. I can't remember where I saw it, but he typed up a big response to Petke and how he supports him and loves him and appreciates him. And then... it screen captured it and shared it. So if I can find it, I'll send it to the two of you in the message. But if you find it, great.
Yeah, it's probably on his Instagram or something. I'll go
probably.
Find it.
So I saw it on Twitter. Somebody shared it or he shared it possibly on Twitter. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, let's call it there. That's great for quick hits. John, we'll toss it over to you. I think you saw a movie for our pop culture section.
I did. I saw Hobbs and Shaw. It was... as loud and big and noisy and ridiculous as I would have hoped. It's just a lot of fun. never at any point do you take it seriously. I mean, it gets really cheesy at times. Did either of you see it?
I have not. And do we need to call it what it really truly is? Fast and the Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw?
Fast and the Furious 14?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I did not see it. I have not
I would like to. It intrigues me. I mean, the Fast and the Furious franchise was very good. This one intrigues me. And, dude, it's The Rock. How can you not want to see it? It's The Rock.
Yeah, they kind of changed the characters a little bit. Like Shaw was a main villain, and then they kind of try to redeem him a bit in this movie. But to me, you can't really truly redeem Shaw because he killed Han in cold blood. That's just never going to go away. But they ignore that in this movie. That it is just like Tango and Cash or any other mismatched buddy cop movie from back in the day, with giant set pieces and just over the top silliness. And, you know, The Rock occasionally takes a break to call his daughter, so you know he's a good dad. And then they go back and they go kill 100 more henchmen. And I don't know, it's just a blast. Idris Elba plays this genetically modified soldier, so he's basically a Marvel villain. So it's exactly what you think it's going to be when you watch the trailer. It is a lot of fun. It's not serious at all. There's a couple of really funny cameos that I wouldn't want to ruin for people, but that make me hope they're both in the next one. It's exactly the kind of brainless summer blockbuster that you would want.
Okay. Well, I want to see it. Don't know if I will until it comes out on Redbox, because our movie watching has been few and far between this summer. Just way too much coming at us. But it's on my want to see list. So, just trying to think. Can't think of anything yet. Well, so Netflix, I did watch a series, kind of binge watch part of a series. I didn't get a chance to watch all of it. Something called like In the Dark, I think it was, or something. Now I can't even remember the exact name of that one. A blind girl.
In the Dark?
Yeah, it's a blind girl. I'd have to look it up, and I can't look it up at the moment. But this blind gal who stars in this series, and she, one of her friends ends up getting murdered. And it's, as far as I can tell, it's a drug deal gone bad. But this entire series she spends trying to prove that he was killed, because it got swept under the rug and nobody ever proved anything. And they figured he just disappeared. Anyways, it was an intriguing series. I didn't watch all of it. I caught bits and pieces, but enough to keep my attention and think, man, this is a pretty good show. So, but I can't remember the name. It's killing me.
There's a show called Dark, but that's, if I remember right, that's
German. No, this one, I swear it's called In the Dark. See, now I'm going to look. Now I'm going to have to look.
Okay. Anyone familiar in it?
In the Dark. Yes, In the Dark. Did you find it?
Yeah, I see it.
Yes.
Yep, blind woman with vices finds herself in the middle of a murder investigation. There you go.
So, it's pretty good. I was impressed. And no, there wasn't. I'm trying to think if there's really anybody in it that really is big name. I've seen her in something before, but I can't think of what. But overall, no, it's a cast of unknowns. So worth checking out. Otherwise, I can't think of anything else I've really watched or done. I haven't had a lot of time to watch shows. I've been extremely busy. But that's my take for pop culture this week. Devin, you got anything to add?
I watched season 2 of Derry Girls. It was good. I'm not sure if you guys have ever watched that. It's short. I mean, you're talking 6 episode seasons, about 30 minutes an episode. Worth your time if you like a good good comedy. I'm sure I've watched some other movies, but I can't remember what. Usually I'm like catching up on older ones. I can't remember the one I watched. That there was one about World War II. It's got, who's the guy that plays Doctor Who?
Which one?
Or no.
Matt Smith, Peter Capaldi,
David.
Who's the guy that dated Taylor Swift? That's a better question.
David Tennant?
That doesn't narrow it down. I don't remember.
David Tennant, Christopher Eccleston. I'm trying to remember my dog.
I don't remember. I shouldn't have even mentioned it. I shouldn't have even said a word. I don't know. I watched a movie. It was good. And I'm not logged into my Netflix account on my phone, so I can't check it. I don't know.
Okay.
All right.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
There you go. Wow, that took you a while. I'm impressed.
But
oh, Sherlock.
No, it wasn't Sherlock.
Yes, Benedict Cumberbatch was
Benedict
Sherlock.
Benedict Cumberbatch is Sherlock. He's not Doctor Who.
Yeah, sorry. I'm like, I didn't watch Sherlock. Don't put words in my mouth. I'm trying to see what it was. It was a World War II.
Oh, The Imitation Game?
Yes. I kept wanting to say Imitation of Life, but that was R.E.M. Yeah. Yes, The Imitation Game. I really enjoyed that. I thought it was well done.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
He was very good in it. So if you haven't seen it, I would recommend checking that one out.
And it is on Netflix.
It is. It is. That's one I recall watching recently.
All right. Well, I think that's a good place this week, isn't it?
Yep, I gotta go.
All right. We want to thank you all for joining us on this week's edition of Jedi and Germs, episode 199. Yeah. And thank you for joining us each and every week and your support. You know where to find us, Facebook, Twitter, anywhere you listen to podcasts, Jedi and Germs. Join the discussion. Give us your feedback. Share us with your friends. Give us reviews. Thank you all. We'll talk to you soon. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.